Hello, welcome everybody. Yeah, my name is Fred Herman. I'm just need 1 minute to set up my screen properly. I can also see it. Yeah, so hello, we're about to have lunch, so I'll try to keep it briefly. My name is Herman. I'm from a Dutch company called Fris, and we specialize in fraud risk and compliance for insurance companies, especially for non-life insurance. And we do risk assessment at underwriting, which is the moment when somebody files for a policy application, or we do risk detection or fraud detection at claims, is when somebody crash their car and they make a claim. And we do portfolio management, but also compliancy. And we generate typically risk scores to do so. So we call that the FRIS score. We'll come back to that in a second. And to generate that score, we generate a lot of data. So based on some initial input data, we have a lot of external data sources which help us to enrich the data that we have, such that we can actually create profiles. And these are quantitative risk assessments on a person or a case, and we capture that into a FRIS score. And this FRIS score, you could do a lot of things with it. You could, for instance, bin it and then say, okay, within a certain threshold, people are considered green, say 0 to 50, and that is good for straight-through processing. That's what insurers want. A lot of stuff is going online. They don't want to manually intervene. They just want to assess the case automatically, and our system provides such things. And you could bin that, and you could do a lot of things with this to do this, but this is what we do at the company, but that's not specifically what I'm here to talk about. What I'm here to talk about is what you can do with Shiny and how you can build large-scale Shiny applications and deploy them. With large scale, I actually don't mean big data per se. I mean, this can surely be handled by Sparkly or systems like this, or by using external databases which scale, such as NoSQL databases. But I'm talking more about the large scale of all the things that the previous speakers talk about, building widgets, doing proxies, using Docker, using a lot of these stuff, how to deploy it, how to make it secure. If you put all of that together, and Shiny is a really cool framework to do this. So we have hundreds, we have about 70 clients, and these clients, they are on-premise, but they're also sometimes in SaaS environments, and this gives a lot of challenges for us how to deploy software, because as the previous speaker mentioned, data can sometimes be have a lot of regulation around it, so the data that we deal with is considered very sensitive data, and we use a lot of Shiny in our work to do this. And to analyze the data that our company creates, we built a lot of Shiny applications. And we have sort of multiple goals of where we use R. So we do a lot of pre-processing of the data. So this you can consider batch processing. And this is done for a large part by R itself, but it's also done by external databases. And we typically store our data in non-SQL databases, and they can do certain tricks for us, which traditional SQL databases have difficulty with. And we also use a little bit of Python, so we use quite a diverse stack, but the center of it at the moment is definitely R. When you make interactive apps, then we only have one choice, that's Shiny. And for me, it's still the best platform. I looked at all the other things like Aurelia or React or Ember or whatever you can do, but it's very easy to do things with Shiny, it always works. So we use that a lot. And for scoring engines, meaning we have statistical models which are used during the profiling. This is all most often an automated process. There is no need to have a UI. And therefore, we use Open CPU by Jeroen Ooms, and that's sort of an HTTP client for R. And based on these tools, we can create a lot of apps with it. And for instance, you can think about geographical apps in which you use a database similar to the example shown on the Shiny website with the leaflet library beneath it. And we use, for instance, MongoDB, and MongoDB can capture, for instance, the bounding boxes of where you are on the map, and can capture the zoom levels and stuff like this. And it's very easy to hook that up with a database and then pull the right data out of it. So this scales easily to millions of records if you want to do that. And it's actually not that hard to do. You can also think about network applications. So clearly, if you have a lot of claims in insurance, people, they when they are in accidents, an accident can happen, but some accidents are not a coincidence. That's actually fraud. And you can think of fraud rings. I mean, what is, for instance, the chance that you crash into the same car three times? I mean, that's very unlikely. It can happen, maybe if it's a neighbor who drinks, but you know, usually that's not actually the case. And for these things, you can also use Shiny apps to do this. So this is a little example of such an app. It uses, you know, a bunch of packages which are on CRAN, like FIS Network, Timeline. But it's mostly FIS.js, which is a JavaScript library for which some people, including us, have made HTML widgets for that use this. So you can see it in the bottom, and if I say only the claims or I add stuff to the timeline, you see it moves. You can easily have the interaction that you want with the network, or you can say, okay, for the moment it uses a forest layout, but maybe you want to use iGraph, and it will do a layout for you. So it's these types of things, you know, which you can do. We use Elastic. It's another search engine, which is very fast for doing fuzzy searches. So Mongo is also very good, but you cannot do real full text searches on it. So we use a combination of databases just to make our lives a little easier. But we use also, for instance, reports, markdown reports, which we pre-generate. And then using, for instance, HTML templates, which I'm going to show in a second, it's very easy, you know, to get apps going with a nice look in it, which, you know, have nice functionality like sliding panels or whatever you need to be doing. And this is an example in which you would use something which is called HTML templates. It's on the RStudio website, and it's really very practical to use an HTML template. And you can use that and combine that with markdowns, where you have another sort of interactive report. And all these reports are pre-generated on the server, and we use a different set of tools by RStudio to get that out. So for instance, I believe Winston Chang has made a WebShot package, and with that you can easily take snapshots of Shiny apps or things like that. So this is sort of the apps that we do. Another example is, for instance, when you use dashboarding. So these are not the best things to show a statistician, but if you are in sales, or people who do more higher level management, they expect certain charts. So we can debate about the pie chart or the dual axis thing. Luckily, Hadley is not here. Otherwise, he would kill me. But this has a dual axis chart, for instance. Well, okay. But it's very easy to get these things going with some interactivity. So if I, for instance, have a brush, I can move the brush around. You probably cannot see it because of the light, but the thing is, with the Shiny reactivity, it's very easy to set up HTML widgets if you know a little bit about JavaScript, and then get the interactivity going in doing this. And what you then typically do is you combine sort of JavaScript with R. And there are a lot of ways how you can do that. So even though you don't need these things, if you want to get to the next level of your apps, you could reverse things and say, let's add also CSS and JavaScript to this. And the HTML widgets and the Shiny package itself make that very easy for you to do. Of course, there are a lot of things you can learn R, but equally, you know, there are a lot of opportunities to learn about JavaScript, and it's not that difficult. And then you can make you know, nice little applications and use the best of all these things. And but to get started, it can be a little bit difficult. So you probably all heard of Dev3, which is awesome, but it's also a bit steep to learn, a lot of examples. And generally, it's not that easy for people to start with HTML widgets. Once you know the concept, it's really amazingly powerful. So we set up a number of tutorials to help you. You don't need to memorize these slides, because I will download my slide deck so that you can all have it. All the links, it's more than 30 are in there, so don't worry about that. It's also hosted on the RStudio website. You just go to rstudio.com and then /tutorial, and you see the first, you probably see our name somewhere, and then you see four tutorials online, but there is a GitHub repo attached to it, which has six, just with Garrett from RStudio. I have to get some time to get them up on the site. But what you will be building in that set of tutorials is build that dashboard, which you just saw, all the way, including the widgets, including input bindings, everything. And we took very good care to make sure that all the relevant links are there. If you don't know what a div is, no problem. Do you know what a CSS selector is? No problem. Have you never heard of jQuery? Also no problem. Just know these are the foundations of what Shiny is built on. So if you know this, Bootstrap, you will realize there is a ton of stuff that you can do. So for instance, how do I make an interactive brush and send that data back to R to use it as a filter? If I have a help system, I forgot to show that in the app. Here's our little app. If I now press help here, you see a help panel. But that help panel can slide around, and it can show you things about your app, about the data that's inside it. And it's actually not that difficult, you know, to get functionality like that going. It's all JavaScript stuff, so you have to learn that a bit. And then the next thing is modules. Like, if you make a really big app, just split up your things into modules. It makes your life really easy. You can find it on the website. Same goes for HTML templates. With HTML templates, you can put the best of all things of HTML. You can have a completely ready template, which you can just buy for $5, and it looks insane if you look like Unify or templates like that. So it's very easy with HTML templates, especially if you have a little bit of help, to get a really slick-looking apps going. Because, for instance, the app that you... This, what you see now, is not a Reveal.js type of thing. What you're actually seeing now is a Shiny application. It's Shiny who runs this thing, and it uses something which is called FullPage.js, which just allows you, you know, to make these things. And I'm telling you, you don't have to believe me, with a few lines of code, you can get stuff like this going in your app. So it's clearly looking like that with the slider framework. Now, to wrap up the stuff on the deployment side of what we do. So we use, indeed, a lot of the tools that the other candidates have also, speakers, have also mentioned, like Docker. Docker is a really awesome way to move stuff around. So if you build a complex app that needs 10 data pipelines to work, getting it to work on a development version is one thing, but, you know, sending it to production and all these things, that's something else. And we use Docker to do that. We use TFS, a build system by Microsoft, to do this. We have Octopus, which helps us deploy this. And with these tools, we can deploy our applications. Now, on runtime, we do use Apache as a proxy, so if multiple people log on of different clients, we essentially, in a Docker container, run one Docker container per client, per app. And we use our build system to build all this. And then you have a lot of Docker images running. And we use console to get the correct match between the IP addresses and the apps, such that if a user logs on, that Apache knows where to send the data. And we use a lot of batch processing, Elastic, MongoDB, Neo4j to help us pre-process the data, and that helps us to keep our applications really snappy. So I will put all the stuff that we have built, and it's really a lot of tutorials which will hopefully help you out build tools like this. So with our colleagues, we did our best for weeks to get all this material ready for you to use. You can download it at freshanalytics/shinyjs-tutorials. You can also find the link on the RStudio website. If you have any other questions, or you want just to chat about how you make HTML widgets, or how you make templates, or how you mash it up all together, just talk. And then from the colleagues of the Netherlands, also from my colleagues here, John, who is sitting over there, and Erwin. So great guys to work with. So thank you from Holland, and I hope you have a great lunch. That's it. Yeah, exactly. Oh, sorry. So the question is, if we use one Docker container per user who logs in, or per firm that we service? So it's per firm, per client. Yes, sir? Yeah, so the question is, where do we deploy? We do both. So we need to do both, and that's challenging, so that's why we Dockerize almost everything that we can, and it works really well. Other questions? Yes, in the middle. So the question is, how do we pre-process the data, and what happens then to the latency of our system? So the response, the snappiness, it's not a word. It's the pre-computation we do for the heavy computations that we know upfront that people want. So a lot of reports, it's already there. It's all big data. So our thought is, if you have big data, that doesn't change that much from hour to hour. So running it once per day is fine. For other things which need snappier attention, you can make it live. Or if you have way too much data, like a leaflet map, and you could basically scroll into millions of points, we just fetch it live. But then you have essentially small data, which we send via JSON Light or something like that. We take it out, and it goes. Databases can send up to, you know, a few thousand of rows pretty easily. So it's sort of that. If we know it up front, we compute it. If we don't, we don't. And otherwise, hey, you need to use something like Sparklayer, and then you just have to wait a little bit. So that's sort of my answer to your question. Yeah, we don't offer that at the moment, but you can use promises. There are packages which do that for you, and we do use them, but not that often. So we can keep it pretty clean, you know, and we're pretty happy with the response time at the moment. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, thanks, guys.